Here we will explore a true fact about Troy Harmon, CFA. To explain the origins of Troy Harmon, one must first delve into the history of that which is greater than the man, his mustache. Centuries ago, the heavens blessed the earth with Troy Harmon's mustache. After earning millions as part of Blackbeard and gaining fame and adulation during its short stint on Tom Selleck's face during Magnum P.I., the mustache got lonely and sprouted arms, legs, and a face. And when done, it looked in the mirror and the mustache named that which held it up in glory, Troy Harmon.
Okay. I can't top that. I don't know what to say.
That's just so creative. Yeah. All right.
Well, listen, before we jump back in and finish off this case study, we want to make sure we make the point that if you've got questions you want us to answer, if you've got things you want us to look into, we record this show on Thursdays, as we often say, but it's aired on Saturday morning. So as you're listening to it this weekend, if you want us to answer something, give us a call or email us. You can call us at 770-429-9166 or email us at drgene@hensler.com. And we would be more than happy to take your
contact
questions.
You and give you a call. And
yeah, yeah.
And if you get a divorce, you can call Charlie Holloway at 770-429-9166.
So we're going to talk not about divorce, but about death, Gene.
It's death.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, the circumstance we want to talk
about.
But Murray,
he died so young.
He did, 66. Yeah. 66. We've got a situation here where, again, we create these case studies here.
To make a point.
To make a point. I mean, yeah. there's a lot of things that can be learned from experiences people go through. And, you know, all these are fictional and made up. But we get asked a lot of questions around the firm over the years. And so this is one
we're
where
putting them together.
Yeah, so Josephine, age 61, her husband, 66, died this year. And the real short question here, and Charlie, we can just knock this around and we can all chime in, but there's a lot to deal with.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So what all does she need to be thinking about? I mean, it's
well, yeah. I mean, I think with a lot of things in finance, and checklists can help, and especially in emotional situations like this. And it's never something you really want to plan for. It's kind of like, you know, folks unfortunately passing away without a will. You know, it's too late to fix it, and people think it's never going to happen, but it does. It'd be a good thing to kind of, you know, put down on paper, or, you know, work with a financial advisor to get a plan together for, you know, when this happens, what do you do? Because that's a hard thing to do the week after someone passes away, or the second or the third, or however many months it may take someone to grieve. But there are bits and pieces that need to be taken care of immediately, and ones that can be pushed off, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Okay, I got some questions here. Okay.
Go for it.
Our listeners don't know, but he was drawing Social Security. He started drawing it in at 64, which was before he would maximize.
Early for him.
Early for him. And she says she wants to wait until 65 before retiring and collecting Social Security on her own work record. Do we have enough information to determine whether that makes any sense?
Yeah, because when we look at the Social Security that he was receiving, it was about $1,700 per month.
Yeah.
So she is going to be due a portion of that. That could range from, call it 70% all the way up to 100%. It won't be 100%. And so she could draw that now as a survivor benefit and delay hers till a later date.
And then switch to hers.
On her earnings record, you know, she's making $56,000 a year if you look at the Social Security tables.
Yeah.
You know, currently, at full retirement age, she'll probably be due about $1,700 a month.
So she can actually draw on his.
And then delay
hers. And then
wait
and then say, I don't want his anymore, I want mine.
Flip to hers. Mm-hmm. And if she can delay hers longer, then
it'll
grow.
That's a big thing.
It'll grow. Mm-hmm.
So that definitely would be a good thing for her to consider. You know, some of the other things that you know, we were looking at, you know, a minute ago, talking about kind of creating a checklist is, you know, what do you want to do that first week? Obviously, you want to inform, you know, family, friends, but you're going to inform, you know, the doctor. You can really reach out to the funeral home for advice.
Yeah.
They can actually help with contacting, you know, Social Security Administration. You are due a death benefit. It's sort of one of the
$500.
It's actually $255.
That was $500.
Maybe they've reduced it. All the
I guess so. Maybe.
Well, they're running out of money. They need to reduce. I don't know why they. You know, what
I thought
good
it was
$500,
but $255.
They can't bear it anymore.
Hey, it's dinner.
Right.
With the kids.
That's right. You know, and then you can maybe at the second week you can start contacting banks, you know, if there was, you know, pensions and that sort of thing, like a veteran's pension.
Well, one of the things down here that bothered me too, by the way, is that Murray handled all of finances.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't like that one iota. When we have clients come in this door, we encourage strongly that everybody be involved and know where this stuff goes on. I just, you know, when I sort of first got into this practice, you'd have poor mini me who didn't know where anything was of any kind and who was incapable, I mean, quite frankly, incapable of making an intelligent financial decision.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's real common. I mean, it's very common. I mean, I was
going to
mention
this later. It's
less
common now, I might say.
It is. But here's what I hear a lot, Gene, is it's the, well, especially with the advent of all the digital records, is where are the passwords? Where are the passwords? What are the usernames?
And I can't get on the iCloud on my Mac because I'd forgotten it. So it disappeared into the Ethernet.
Because bills don't go away just because someone has passed away. And if those were bills that were set up on auto payment, that's fine. But if they weren't, even if you have a joint checking account, you don't know. You may have access to the money, but you don't know who has to be paid.
That's right.
And you can get some waivers for a while, but you know you can't not pay something for or 5 months and expect them to, you know, to go easy on you.
So I sue my husband; he's dead.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, and liquidity is a concern for someone who has passed away. In this case, they only had about $5,000 in accessible checking and savings. Everything else was, you know, not locked up, but it was in IRAs, in 401ks, in other portfolios or accounts that had tax implications, and maybe she couldn't access them yet, certainly if it was his.
Yeah, fortunately, they didn't have any debt other than the house.
They didn't have any, that's right. Right. But, you know, she may, you know, we have burial expenses. It tends to be expensive depending on the level of funeral.
I'm a nubby plywood guy.
Yeah, just dig a hole.
Dig a hole and throw it in there.
Right. Yeah. So, that is a concern. And really, that's where we see a lot of clients with those old whole life policies that they bought 30, 40 years ago.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of why those were always sold was, well, you need some money when you die in the form of a $25,000 life insurance policy. Well, you don't. You just need to have $25,000 in the bank or in a savings account, somewhere that's accessible to whoever the survivor is going to be.
So I guess one of the lessons here is that regardless of how old you are, that everybody ought to know where everything is, what the passwords are, what is the emergency situation. You know, you don't have to be 66 a kilo from a heart attack. Right. You can be 30 years old and driving home and somebody runs over you in a car and kills you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you need to be prepared for these things. And
have a professional team in place where you know who to call. We tell all of our clients, if nothing else, just call us if something happens. If we're doing your estate planning work too, it's all in one house, under one roof. If not, we can get you in touch with the right person.
Simply enough, if someone says, in the later stage, it says they'd like to be a client, we have them fill out a questionnaire, which would be such that both partners would know where everything is and what everything is, and that's handed to them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So it's a tough topic, tough subject, but it's not just for husband and wife either, right? I mean, if kids, your parents, you know, how can you know how things are set up and how can you be involved?
Well, so they may not want you to know. It's one thing between husband and wife, but you know, I don't care about the kids. Tough rocks, buddy.
Right. Well, but to Charlie's point earlier, bills may or may not have to be paid. There may or may not be cash.
Right, I understand.
There, so resolving the estate, going through the process,
especially when there's a lone parent.
We see clients where, you know, we're well into the digital age, but we still see people with stock certificates, for example, and those can be problematic. Any time that someone's hoarding actual cash or stock certificates, something that's tangible that's not electronic, can be problematic. You got to locate it. There's some risk there. So if you've got a grandparent or a parent that you know still has stock certificates or a lot of cash on hand, and it's a good reason to get it
in their safety deposit box, and you don't have the right to get in.
Right.
We can go on into great details about how things, and especially, you know, it's husband and wife should have this thing all together. But if you have a lone parent, then you, it's not being nosy.
Right.
It's not being nosy to go in and say, you need to get your, quote, estate in order.
Right.
And absolutely. I mean, I helped my own grandparents through it before they passed away. I mean, and to your point, Gene, oftentimes parents may or may not want their kids to know.
Yes.
They don't have to know, but that doesn't preclude you from documenting it, sealing it up, and putting it somewhere
where everybody knows where it is.
Where when the time comes and they're going through the stuff,
yeah.
it's a nice, succinct, clean list of, hey, here's where you need to find everything. Here's who you need to contact. Here's the password, whatever it may be. But
and even when you have things documented electronically the right way or in a safe or wherever, we have seen instances where just simple mistakes on how you title accounts create, you know, a lot of problems for the heirs.
That's right.
You know, one that we've worked on in the past was we had an elderly woman who passed away and had a bunch of accounts titled as transfer on death, TOD. It's like a brokerage account that has a beneficiary.
Yep.
And they were going all over the place. You know, she had one heir. Everything was really supposed to go to the one heir who also has three children. It was going to get, you know, split up that way. Well, he had a little bit going to one grandchild, a little bit going to the other grandchild. One grandchild was about completely left out of it.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out.
Born too late.
Right.
Sure.
With the attorney's
That's
help.
That's what happens. Yeah.
With the attorney's help, how legally and not get into trouble with gift tax consequences do we aggregate all this money and then divide it up the way that really she meant to? You know,
well,
it's that kind of unwritten.
You know, Charlie, my approach to this, I'm dead. I don't care.
That's right.
If you're listening to Money Talks, don't touch that dial.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.